Listen to the voices of our world.
We've got a problem, and we've got to design strategies to fix that problem.
They're talking about a global sea level rise of up to 23 feet. The entire eastern seaboard up to and over Washington, D.C. is underwater.
Why are we spending $1 trillion in Iraq and not spending money to help our own citizens?
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. It's not nice to betray Mother Nature. She fights back. Remember 2005's hurricane season? So today we'll be looking at some environmental issues through a discussion with whistleblower and senior policy analyst for the Environmental Protection Agency, Hugh Kaufman, and journalist Julia Witte. Whistleblowers are an essential check to the mighty and powerful across the United States. I mean, think about how history would be treating President Nixon if Deep Throat never existed. Well, there are Superfund sites all over this country that are getting better attention and proper cleanup because of one man at the Environmental Protection Agency, Hugh Kaufman.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
As part of his former role at the EPA's Ombudsman's Office, Kaufman saved a Denver neighborhood from living next to a toxic waste dump site, helped straighten out the mismanagement of the industrial excess landfill in Lake Township, Ohio, and radioactive and toxic waste are being trucked out of Tarpon Springs, Florida, instead of being buried there. Kaufman doesn't just stop at straightening out shoddy work at the EPA. He has also turned whistleblower and revealed to the public several heads of the EPA's questionable actions. For example, Kaufman revealed former EPA head Christy Todd Whitman's extensive ties to Citicorp and her refusal to recuse herself from making decisions that would affect their bottom line. Take that Denver neighborhood. One of the companies potentially responsible for that mess is owned by Citicorp, and Whitman allowed a liability cap to be applied to the case of $7 million, a site which could cost up to $100 million to clean up. Kaufman was also instrumental in confirming air quality concerns in Manhattan after 9/11. He charged Whitman with allowing people to return to their homes when the air quality was still dangerous, thus saving insurance companies millions. One of those companies saving money? Travelers, owned by Citicorp. Then there's New Orleans. Well, I'll let Hugh tell you about that. Here is senior policy analyst for the Environmental Protection Agency, Hugh Kaufman, talking by phone with producer Kathy Golden.
I have the extreme pleasure of talking today with Hugh Kaufman of the EPA. His detractors and his admirers would both point to his unflinching honesty. So my first question to you, Hugh, is do you have a food taster?
No. No, I mean, I'm just a bureaucrat, you know, just trying to keep the old-fashioned values of doing the public's business intact in a world that from time to time can get crazy.
But you really are very well known in the last few years, especially for bringing truth to power. And there's definitely a move afoot, especially in this particular White House and administration, to muffle the very things that you're trying to talk about.
Well, I do think the last few years have not been good years either for whistleblowers or for people who are trying to do environmental protection work. There's no question that this administration, more than the others, is not happy with environmental protection initiatives and certainly has demonstrated that they're no friend of whistleblowers, which is interesting because prior to this administration, both were a mixed bag. In fact, in the 1970s, under the Nixon and Ford administrations, environmental protection was high priority, and certainly whistleblower protections have been grudgingly accepted in both Republican and Democratic administrations up until the last few years.
Now, isn't one of the very stories, it's not a story, it's a condition and it's been here with us for a long time, but isn't one of the very things that several scientists and people at the EPA have been told not to talk about is global warming?
Not just global warming, but also energy conservation. There's tremendous pressure inside the bureaucracy coming from the top not to talk about things that could be or would be harmful to the oil and gas industry. And that certainly includes global warming, oil conservation, etc.
Are you allowed to tell us whether there is such a thing as global warming?
You know, at this juncture, after so many decades, I don't think there's any doubt in any minds of mainstream scientists that global warming is a substantive issue that needs to be addressed by the government of the United States, just as it's being addressed by the other developed countries of the world. So I don't think that's a radical opinion. I think the radical opinion is trying to stick to the position that there is no global warming when all the scientific evidence supports global warming. The question is, how fast and how much impact is that going to have on the world?
As a scientist and investigator yourself, if one of the things we can expect over time is a rise in sea level, wouldn't it be a very pertinent time to be discussing these side effects of global warming because we want to know where to rebuild New Orleans?
New Orleans presents a whole host of problems, of which global warming is just one issue. New Orleans is not totally decimated. You know, the downtown area, the French Quarter are pretty much intact, but there's a large part of New Orleans, frankly, that is certainly at risk. The question becomes, can you build a levee system, much as they have done, for example, in the Netherlands, that will be protective of New Orleans, even if there is a rise in sea level? And, of course, the answer is yes. The question is this society willing to spend the money necessary not only to protect New Orleans down the line, but protect the other cities in terms of policies that can help diminish global warming and also protect those cities if there's a rise in sea levels. You can't even get to that until the federal government is honest with the public and says, we've got a problem and we've got to design strategies to fix that problem.
The Army Corps of Engineers, did they respond at all to your piece about the toxic hazards in the area?
The reality is that nobody in the administration is really responding to the toxic hazards. If you remember, at the same time that Hurricane Katrina hit, I started to blow the whistle again about a large number of toxic hazards that will be and were being created and the need for protection not only of the people, but also of the heroes, the responders who went in fixing the problem. And the media did start to cover that issue, but the government has taken no substantive actions in this regard, and in fact, in some cases, have put out misinformation. So there's a whole host of toxic problems that are being swept under the carpet. The need for safe drinking water, the hazardous material that has been flushed into certain areas where they want to rebuild, the mold problem, as well as toxics in lots of these homes, pose a significant financial burden for the government and a health burden to the public, and that's why they're being swept under the rug. And many people in Louisiana, Mississippi, are scratching their heads and saying, why are we spending $1 trillion in Iraq and not spending money to help our own citizens?
This particular administration has been very protective of all the energy industries. I wonder if you could speak to the Indian Point nuclear power plant and other plants that are having similar problems.
There is a big question mark about the government wanting to re-promote nuclear power. For those of your listeners who don't know what a nuclear power plant is, it's basically the most expensive and dangerous way man has invented to boil water. That's all nuclear power plants do. They boil water and then the steam runs turbines. One of the big issues that Indian Point has and all the nuclear power plants isn't so much the actual nuclear reactors, it's the waste storage areas where they have fuel rods in Quonset huts that could be very easy targets for terrorists. And the industry doesn't want to spend the money to basically have those Quonset huts with fuel rods in a more protective situation, so there isn't a terrorist threat to that. Now, Halliburton happens to be one of the largest manufacturers of nuclear power plants, and given the connection of this administration to that giant corporation, I don't think it's a surprise that everyone in government is looking the other way as it relates to nuclear power. Halliburton, for your listeners, among other things, has gotten billions of dollars of sole source contracts in Iraq, and in fact has been paid millions of dollars to deliver safe drinking water to our troops and failed to clean the water to save millions. And so it's been feeding our troops poison water that can make them sick down the line just to save millions of dollars. There's been no enforcement action taken against them for that. They still get their millions, even though they weren't delivering safe drinking water. And a whistleblower in the company that blew the whistle on what was going on got hammered by the company. He got fired. So these big companies like Halliburton have tremendous power and influence in this administration, just to the detriment of America, and certainly in the example I gave you, to the troops.
Absolutely. So when it comes to the major environmental stories of our day that the public should know about, does the EPA have freedom to speak about these things?
There's no question that global warming is a big issue. But I think also the quality of our drinking water. There's all kinds of issues that haven't gotten much press attention, and there are no initiatives. For example, there's been an increase in the amount of pharmaceuticals in our drinking water. We're not cleaning the water to get them out. So little children, when they're drinking tap water, are also drinking some antidepressants and other things that are finding their way into our drinking water. That's a big issue. Certainly hazardous waste, nuclear waste, emergency response are always issues with us. Our emergency response capabilities are in much worse shape than they were prior to 9/11. And, of course, air pollution and reduction of it through conservation is not happening. So there's a whole host of issues that need tackling and grappling with, and we're going to have leadership in the coming decades to crank that up again.
And how would you prioritize those needs? If you could, what would you recommend? What would be the key things you would want to see action on?
Well, you can't say one is better or worse than the other. I mean, how would you choose between making sure your children have safe drinking water versus reducing global warming? They're both very important. I think being honest with the public and grappling with the issues helps solve all those problems. If you're going to do cunning tricks of, say, calling retreat from the Clean Air Act clear skies and not leveling with the public, then I would say you keep going in the wrong direction. And hopefully, you know, as more people discuss these issues, I think we can get government back on track to do its job, because every sector in our society, the public, industry, and government, has to do their job honestly to keep things going well in America. That's the American way. And right now, government has not been carrying its load, not doing its job properly. And I think we're all feeling that, and I think we got to get back online and do our job.
Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Hugh Kaufman.
It's the year 2050. Where will you be? Driving a hybrid car or standing knee-deep in water? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.